This has been a year of transformation here at Highlands United Methodist Church as we celebrated 125 years of serving this neighborhood. We took seriously the heritage we now carry forward into the next 125. As we strive to build a home where all belong and have taken on projects that allow us to embrace our community and strengthen our foundation. One of those is the garage. The dilapidated old service station in our parking lot was far too valuable to leave abandoned. And we love the neighborhood too much to just sell it. Though, let me tell you, we got offers. So we decided to turn it into a hub for all things Highlands, a space to really be a neighborhood together. And though its exterior still awaits its big finish, which, by the way, I'm in love with the design. I can't wait for you all to see it. What's happening inside is really what's the most exciting. Events and activities to bring people together and build relationships in our neighborhood. Actually, yesterday was doggy yappy hour. All the dogs were there. It was a barking success from what I hear. I'm sorry, I couldn't leave that out. Okay. My editor was like, no, don't do it. And I was like, yes, I'm going to. The toddler playgroup is meeting every Tuesday, and it has been incredibly high energy. As you can see, we started with the pretty safe bets in this part of town, babies and dogs. But we have other stuff coming up, too. We're going to have TED Talk Tuesdays where we watch and discuss amazing conversations. We've got National Geographic photographers coming to share their stories and journeys with us. We've got some board game nights coming up for people to be together and play cards and all sorts of things. We've got a Women in Business networking group, all just sorts of things for us to be together. The building was dead, honestly a death trap, and now it bustles with new life. The other big transformation has just begun, and that is our stained glass windows. After 100 years of sun and wind, and most recently, hail, our windows were in desperate need of some care and attention. With support from the State Historical Fund, we will be repairing, restoring, and preserving each of these windows over the year to come. In fact, the first window was just taken out. I begged the stained glass artist to start the project last week. Pull out the first window before Easter, please. I mean, the windows are worn. They carry the wear and tear and the marks of life all over them. They're falling apart at the seams. They're fatigued beyond measure. And then they will go away and come back new, filled with light and life. The Easter sermon almost writes itself at that point. Though, interestingly enough, the stained glass people didn't like my 3-day timeline. That was a whole different conversation. But the windows being removed and restored isn't the only place that we can find meaning in this moment. As we began to enter this entire stained glass project, I started reading up on the history and the artistry of glasswork. And as I read, I came across the words not of an artist or of a historian, but of a psychologist. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she's the psychologist who first identified the stages of grief. She spent her life studying death. And this is what she had to say about people. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. It's beautiful words. In this interplay of dark and light, in these wise words, it struck me, and I found them especially true for today. For today, Easter morning is a morning of light and life. The light and life of this morning are unlike any other. But the light that makes this day sparkle and shine is not an external light. It is not a temporary gleam that will set at the end of the day. The light of this day is a glow from within amidst great darkness in the world. For all of the light of Easter morning, our Easter story begins in the dark. It's before sunrise when the women begin their journey to the tomb, but that is not the only darkness in which our story begins. You see, the darkness of the previous days has spilled its way into the early hours of Sunday morning. Maybe you know what I'm talking about here. When the difficulty and pain of one day just spills right over into the next one. What should be a brand new beginning suddenly has yesterday spilled all over it. And even though the day is supposed to be new, the darkness of the day before arrives as quickly as the dawn was supposed to. It was one of those dark mornings. This is the place where our story begins. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Christ is not here, he has risen." The darkness with which the morning begins is an invitation to us, an invitation to see the light arrive into conditions we can understand, conditions we have experienced. Just as Dr. Kubler-Ross observed in her studies, grief comes in so many moments of life. Too often we associate grief just with someone dying. We all experience loss in our lives, and sometimes it is the death of a person. But we also have experienced the death and loss of hopes and opportunities, the loss of relationships, health and prognoses that limit time or ability. These are moments when we don't sparkle and shine the way we used to. These are moments, the very human moments, when we need a light from within. But how? After spending 40 days and 6 Sundays thinking about this very question, wrestling with this quote and this idea of the light within, how can we reclaim and restore the light in our lives? Something hit me last Friday. Actually, it blinded me. As the folks in the back corner can tell you, actually I saw a couple people with sunglasses on through the beginning of the service. Once that window was removed, the light poured in like I was unaware of before. Light pouring in. In! It always had been, but somehow I just needed the situation to change to realize the light had been coming in the whole time. All this time, as I thought about this quote, as I thought about light in the darkness, I was focused on our light shining out, which is an important thing. The world needs your light to shine. Our beauty, like stained glass windows to the neighborhood around us, is shown to the world when we have light within. But when things get dark and we retreat to a place of sanctuary within ourselves, looking for a respite from the world, it's like the stained glass windows this morning, shining in on us. The beauty of who we are is revealed to us by a light that shines through us and in us. The new life brought to us at Easter is an invitation to see our lives as beautiful, no matter how dark the world around us can be. To see our lives as beautiful as the light of God's love shines in to us. I think of the women arriving at the tomb, the brilliant glow of the resurrection shining upon them, reminding them that God's love will never stop. No matter how dark the night, no matter how deep the loss, no matter how weathered and worn the soul, God sees us. God sees you as beautiful and worthy of love and shines upon you. And Christ's death and resurrection are a demonstration of the depth of that love. The hope and joy of Easter is that God is willing to help us see the sparkle and beauty of our true selves, even and especially when we feel we have nothing to offer the world. When we may not see that beauty in ourselves, God's light appears, bringing new life. So this Easter morning, as we gather to celebrate light and life, I pray that you would know yourself loved and cherished by a God who created you to be exactly who you are. That whatever condition you find yourself in, however weathered or worn life has left you, that you might know the restoring promise of a God whose love will never be outdone. That you might be illuminated by the light of love that will not be overcome by any darkness. And in seeing the beauty that you carry, that you might begin to glow anew, rekindled, restored, and rejoicing in the new life and light. Happy Easter.